Hi again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and today we're doing the summary of Mark. We just finished the entire 16 chapters of Mark, and now I want to do a summary of Mark. And then after that, we will do a little bit on the book of Lamentations, and then consecration and prayer. Then we have a couple of letters, but right now let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord, Father God, to anoint outwardly this message. And let it, Father, we ask that it be directed from heaven through me, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that the souls will be saved and that the people that are in the body of Christ will be edified and strengthened and become more unified into the fullness of the stature of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, the first letter is from where?
Nash, Texas.
Okay.
It says, Dear Tony Alamo, my new pastor, had it not been for you, I'd probably be spending my eternal life in hell. Thanks to you, I am saved. I plan on living the rest of my life obeying God's word. I had no idea how cunning Satan really was. Thanks to your literature, I'm learning fast, as you first did. I never really read the Bible. Now I can't put it down. There's a lot of my family that I still need to convince. They say I'm taking this too far. I'm now an ex-Episcopalian.
You know, this is what everybody says when you first get saved. When the Spirit of God enters into you, it's so fantastic because you know you've been elevated into the spiritual realm, into a heavenly realm where the Father is, and you know that the Father, that Christ is in you with the Father by the Spirit, and there's just such a zeal because when that happens, the Bible opens up to you as never before, and you're in a wonderland, which is, that's an understatement, and it's just so hard to convince carnal people that are in your family. As a matter of the fact, the Bible says that the members of your household will be your enemies. They'll try to stop you from getting into the... They don't know it unwittingly. They'll try to stop you from getting into the kingdom of heaven. So you just have to know that these things will occur, and don't be too disappointed when it happens, because the Lord said that it would. And you're never a prophet in your own home, so it's best that you just witness and testify to other people, and eventually let your parents see, or your family see, what it is that you're doing, and they'll hear it from other people, and pray that God will send somebody outside the family to witness and testify to them. Say that it's a big job, a task to win your friends and family. All right, you're much better witnessing to people that you never knew before. Go ahead.
I am now an ex-Episcopalian, so I need more knowledge. Please keep me on your mailing list always. I still don't understand all the parables Jesus preached. I'm giving your literature out at my doctor's office. I truly am blessed. I might be poor, but I'm saved. Praise God. I know He loves me because He brought you into my life through my mailbox. May God keep you with us all. Yours truly, Judith from Nash, Texas.
Now, isn't that something? That's why they're raising the rates on postage. It's very easy to win souls if we can get the message to people. And so everything's gone up. But there are people out there in Radio Land that have finances, and we pray that God will touch your heart and help us to win souls. Then you'll be part of this work also, and the rewards that we receive in the kingdom of heaven will be yours as well. So you don't want to cheat yourself. So if you're cheating the Lord, you're cheating yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what's the next letter, please?
From Nigeria, Africa. Dear World Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was highly lifted up in spirit, soul, and body after reading one of your newsletters. I am wondering how I had to pick up the kind of philosophy you have for feeding the congregation after ministering to them. In fact, that is my type of calling, because the Lord said in His Word that it is not good to tell a hungry man to go well and be ye blessed without feeding him. Although I have not much funds, but I am feeding my small congregation after each service. I am richly blessed in spirit each time I do it. Not too long, I had to give away some of my belongings to the needy, clothing, shoes, cooking utensils, and even my car, because I want to lay down all weight and all the things that can make one to sin. If every pastor will have the kind of heart that I feel you have going through your literature, oh, the world would be a better place. But what I see as pastors these days are just money extorting ministers who are looking for whom to dupe and cart away their money or belongings. May God continue to enrich you as you tarry along the spiritual realm with boldness and the fear of the Lord and the propagation of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to get some inspiring and teaching newsletters and Bibles for new converts. Please send me topics dealing on corruption, for my country is dying of corruption. We need a change from the Lord. If you are looking towards spreading to Nigeria, please do not hesitate to contact me, because I am a willing vessel to be used for God's work any time. Whom God calls, He equips through miraculous vessels of Pastor Tony Lamo. Thanks and God bless. Gladys from Nigeria, Africa.
Well, when you're talking about sending your literature regarding corruption, there is so much corruption, and it's if people would read the Bible and know what sin is, that's the main thing we have to do, is show the people of the world what God said sin is. And then we have to show them the different plagues that God sends down to this earth upon the human beings that refuse to repent from the corruption that they're involved in. And anyone, if you read the newspapers or listen to the different catastrophes that are going on in the world, these are plagues from God. And if you read the Bible, if you haven't read the Bible, you won't believe that. But read the Bible and you'll see that God drowned the entire world. That's a mighty plague, amen?
Amen.
That was a worldwide plague. Only 8 people were able to survive it. Noah believed God. He prayed to God, and he was hearing from God, and that's how he was able to not be a victim of the flood. It was because God spoke to him and told him to build an ark. And because he listened to God and did what the Lord said, he was spared. He, his wife, his 3 sons and their wives, they were the only ones that were spared, because they were obviously the only ones listening to the Lord and doing what he said. So if you're cheating on you're cheating yourself if you're cheating on God, amen?
Mm-hmm.
If you think that you can get by in this world without praying to God and listening to what his instructions are, you're missing the boat. Missing the ark, because Jesus, the ark was symbolic of Jesus. You had to be in the ark in order to be saved, and you have to be in Jesus in order to be saved and have eternal life. And Jesus has to be in you with the Father by the Holy Spirit. So we're the actual temple of God, and God stated in His Word that in the last days, Satan, there would be a great falling away. This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that there'd be a great falling away from the Lord, and that Satan would move into the temple of God, and it says in Jerusalem. Well, we're the new Jerusalem, and so many people think that there's going to be a temple of God built in Israel somewhere, and that isn't what the meaning of the scripture is. The meaning of the scriptures are known by those who seek the Lord, that read His Word and seek Him in prayer. And Satan will sit down in the temple of God, which we are. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, the Bible says, and that you're not your own? And then it goes on to say, ye are the temple of God. And so, naturally, the spirit of Satan has been entering into the people that once were at one time saved. And now they have, Satan has entered them, and they are saying that Satan is God. Now, Satan is talking right through their mouth, saying that we believe in the Antichrist government, and we are keeping the Antichrist government's commandments. We are taking God out of the schools, and we will obey the Antichrist government and take the Lord's name out of the courthouses and out of the federal buildings and everything. When we allowed God, when we were not attacking God, when you people out there were not attacking God, there weren't plagues. But now, you don't want to say God bless America. And so now you're getting cursed. And everybody throughout the world is saying, we don't want to say God bless us. And so God is cursing you. If you read the Bible, you see that what I'm saying is the truth. And then you wouldn't be cursed. Why like to be stupid? Why do you like to be stupid? And why do you like to be cursed? Do what the Lord says and live. It's very simple. But you have to read the Bible so that you can see these plagues will happen. Now, in the Old Testament also, there were plagues on Sodom and Gomorrah. The Sodomites, the homosexuals, the lesbians, and all the corrupt people in that city were destroyed. They were told to leave, but it was similar to like Palm Springs or Las Vegas, and it was like a resort where people used to lounge around and commit homosexual acts and lesbian acts and fornication and adultery, and they languished and laid in the sun and bathed and was swimming in pools and leaning on their inclining on couches, drinking bowls full of wine, gambling, and just cruising along, breezing along with the breeze, so to speak. And then they had a crude awakening. Without warning, the whole city was demolished, destroyed. And then in the Old Testament, it tells where God opened the earth and swallowed a bunch of people into hell. God let his own chosen people become captives to Nebuchadnezzar. And in 70 A.D., after the death of Christ, King Titus came with his army into Israel and destroyed the Jews and destroyed Jerusalem. And then we see, because of the Jewish rejection, some of the Jews, a lot of them had to burn in the Catholic Nazi ovens in Germany. And God just keeps sending diseases. Now we have the book of Revelation tells us that at one of the plagues, one third of the people on earth will be killed. And now NBC is doing specials on the bird flu that they say will kill around one third of the people on the face of this earth. Just one bug. And I was saying in the service last evening that the people were so afraid to go in against the giants, the people of Israel, and they had to stay on the desert 40 years. That was another plague, out on the wilderness and eat just bread from manna from heaven. And that you know, was a very bad curse that people had to endure, and they didn't endure it, and the old-timers all died before they got into the promised land because they didn't believe that God could protect them. After they had seen God destroy Egypt and the entire Egyptian army, and after they'd seen God open up the Red Sea for them, and then after they crossed the Red Sea, they saw God wipe out the entire Egyptian army, and he also killed just before that, he killed all the firstborn of people in Egypt, including Pharaoh's son. And then people think, well, God would never do these things. Well, he did, and he swears that he will continue doing. As a matter of fact, he's going to send all the pestilence, and which is every disease, including viruses like this bird virus. It's sweeping already. It's like it's scaring the tar out of people, and they don't know what to do. Well, the thing to do is repent and get right with the Lord so that you won't have these plagues hit you any more than the children of Israel had the plagues that hit Egypt, hurt them. Not one hair on their head was hurt. Nothing of these Hebrews was hurt at all. And so the same blessing will happen to you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Muhammad. Muhammad cannot save your soul. Not Buddha. Muhammad. Not the Pope. The Pope is in the Roman Catholic hierarchy is the worst enemy to the world that there is. They're the Antichrist, the head of the Antichrist regime today. So, the thing for you to do is get right, come to Christ. There's only one name given among men whereby you must be saved, and that's the name of Christ Jesus. Anyone attempting to get into the kingdom other than through Christ is like a thief and a robber, and it states that no thief shall enter the kingdom of heaven, no robber shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's so offensive to God that you reject his son who had to, God himself, who came into this world as a man so that he had genuine human blood so they could shed it for you so that your sins could be taken away. And then he went to the cross for you in your place and mine, yes. And he went to hell for you and for myself. And then if that wasn't enough, he was the only one that could ever raise out of hell. And he did, and then he also raised himself up from the dead. And then over 500 people saw him ascend into the kingdom of heaven, and he's sitting on the right now as the power of God, which is symbolic as the right hand of God, which means the power of God. And he's making intercessions for every one of us. If you pray to God in the name of Jesus and ask him to enter you, he will, and you'll feel the same thing that you heard this man say that happened to him. He was an Episcopalian, which church I believe it is that has a homosexual as their head. How could anybody go to such a... Well, we're Episcopalians, and we're just going to be Episcopalians until the day we... No, you should be a born of the Spirit Christians. That's a religion, and it's a horrible thing that they have chosen a homosexual to be their head. It's just like thumbing their nose in the Lord's face. So, you know, to preserve your soul in heaven and to escape plagues, the wrath of God here on earth, and an eternity in hell, ask the Lord to come into your heart, wash you with his precious blood that he shed for you on the cross at Calvary, and ask him to enter into you and give you the power to keep all of his commandments and the joy to keep all of his commandments and the zeal to keep all of his commandments. Ask him in the name of Jesus, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to be your soldier. I want to be your servant, your slave. Because you're either the slave of the Lord or the slave of Satan. Right now, if you're not saved, you're a slave to Satan and to your flesh. So get right now before it's too late, because the next plague may occur in your very town. The Lord knows how to. They say in Guatemala, there's outside of Guatemala, there's these little towns. Never thought that God would pay any attention to them, but they were completely covered with mudslides. And so, you know, I was raised in a town at an early age, when I was around 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, in a town called Windham, Montana. I think the population was about 25 or 30 people. That was mainly all kin. You know, some houses had 10 people in it and stuff. But right now, I don't believe it has any more than that. As a matter of fact, the school I went to, they tore it down because there wasn't enough students to go there. And, you know, you're not safe anywhere. I wouldn't feel safe if I wasn't with the Lord in Windham, Montana, or L.A., London, New York, Hong Kong, no matter where you're at. It could happen and will happen to you if you don't get right with the Lord. Okay, let's finish this. That was the end of that's all. Now we're going to have the summary of the book of Mark in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I believe we've already done the book of John, and we've done Matthew. Now we've done Mark now, and this is the summary.
Each step of faith that we take requires that we drop whatever else we are doing as the disciples did with their fishnets, and follow Jesus wholeheartedly with all of our hearts.
Right. There's no future in fishing. There's no fishing in any in going to college. Drop your future if you want to be blessed by God. If you want to plan your own future, then that's God lets you do it. You're a free moral agent. But don't plan a future out in the world, because it isn't there. And if you die, then you're just going to hell, because you cannot plan a future. You have to become a sacrifice. Sacrifice your entire life to the Lord. And when you get into the Lord, don't try to plan a future there, like I'm going to be a pastor, a preacher, a teacher. Just let the Lord do with you what he wants. I never cared to be a preacher, a teacher, a pastor. Last of all, a pastor, because that's work, you know, if you really do it the way the Lord wants you to. There's just everybody you have to minister to, and not only in the services, but they just so many questions and so many rebellions and things like that, and you have to put up with that. Or else. You don't want the Lord. The Lord is the world's greatest terrorist. Look what he's doing to the world. And it's him. If you don't believe it, read the Bible. And so, yeah, I just got to warn you all to get in. And trust the Lord. And don't plan any career for yourself or future offerings, where you just come and let the Lord strip you down to where you have a broken heart. A contrite spirit. Contrite spirit and a broken heart. And let those, the Lord has to break us before he can enter into us. You can't get into a sealed jar. And that really is what we are. It's just tubes or jars. We need to be broken a little bit spiritually, so that the Lord can, with his spirit, enter into us. And then we also have to be broken as we learn of him, so that his spirit can deal with other people through us. So if we don't have anything in us, we can't help anybody. You can send them your money, but money won't help people to go to heaven. And food necessary for the body and clothes for the body, it's good. We have to give that to people, but that still is not going to help people get into heaven. We must win their souls for the Lord. We must pray to let God talk in us and to others through us. All right, then what?
So in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 22, two kinds of people are contrasted. One of the groups was the little children who came to Jesus with full faith, innocent, pure trust and faith, and the wealthy young man who trusted in his wealth and not Jesus, and was unwilling to give it up at the command of Jesus to follow him.
Yeah, look at all these people, New Orleans and all over the world, that trusted in their wealth and their nice homes and everything. And in just a brief moment, just a few minutes, the Lord just wiped them totally out. And now the insurance companies are not even willing to help them out. And so people send them a little bit of grub, food, like in water, some blankets. And then pretty soon they're all going to be mildewed over. And then what? Okay, but if you've got the Lord, you've got immortality and you've got God's blessings with you, and he stops all that for you. Then what?
The only way to enter the kingdom of God is through childlike faith or trust in the Word of God,
which is Jesus. Then what?
This is also the only way we can enter the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Is to believe the Word. And the Word tells us to become part of the church life, and then we become full. When we go to services every evening, you're hearing testimonials from other people, and it lifts you up. And you are able to offer your experiences during the day or whatever the Lord gives you, and strengthen the church as well. And so the church life is very important. And the only possible way that you can become part of the fullness of the stature of Christ. It has to be the full body together. Then what?
As long as we think we can make it on our own, we are absolutely hopeless. We're trapped because every person alive must depend on the Lord in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who has tried to do it alone has discovered that it is impossible, that it is a losing battle. You must begin by admitting that you are helpless without God's help. We must be born again of His Spirit. His Spirit is the permanent, everlasting life. Our spirit is very temporal. Just like little children, we must receive that. Then we will be able to enter heaven. We must put our former life behind. It must die out, and we must have God's permanent life living in us and allow Him to live out His life in and through us. We have to follow this path as the Lord has commanded us. If we trust in our own abilities or wealth for deliverance, we will be doomed into hell and the lake of fire. And what that is just self-caused destruction, self-inflicted destruction. The women who followed Jesus to the cross in Mark chapter 15, verse 47 through chapter 16, verse 11, were not in a position to do anything to stop the crucifixion. Instead of running away, they stayed at the foot of the cross. They watched to see where Jesus would be buried and prepared spices to embalm His body. They were willing to do this, even though the 12 disciples had run for their lives. Their resourcefulness and faithfulness to the Lord, their devotion to Him, was honored by the opportunity to see the risen Jesus. As we continue in growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ, we must never waste time waiting for something to happen. We must take full advantage of the opportunities if God opens the door for us to go and to lay up rewards for ourselves in the kingdom of heaven. Insight on the power of the Lord to save us. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45, Jesus displayed His power by healing a man with leprosy. Leprosy is a progressive, contagious, and crippling skin disease. In ancient times, it was often considered a form of divine retribution for sin. See Numbers chapter 12, verse 9 through 10, and 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16 through 23. Since there was no cure except by a miracle from God, a person with leprosy was socially ostracized. See Leviticus chapter 13. Bible medicine has all but eliminated this disease, but we must consider what it must have been like to have been alive and not have any cure. Everybody in the world are lepers inflicted by the incurable disease of sin, Satan, and the world, which has made everyone in the world ugly, separated from God. God is now separated from the people of the world, and it also separates us from the people we love. Yet there is hope for everyone. You can be restored to eternal life and fellowship with the Lord, the healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. To accept the blood of Jesus on your soul, all of the former sins that you committed will be drowned in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and He will never remember them against you again. And the Spirit of God in Jesus by the Holy Spirit...
He'll never remember them against you again if you let go and sin no more. But if you do, they'll all come back up on you, and there's no more repentance for you. This is Bible that I'm telling you. Then what?
The Spirit of God in Jesus by the Holy Spirit will enter into your body, and you will have been purchased from the ownership of the law. The Lord fulfilled the law by paying the price up to the law for you by dying in your stead, in my stead. First, you must realize your inability to save yourself. Then you will be able to trust Jesus' power and love for cleansing and for your salvation. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29, Jesus used an illustration to show how God works in the fullness of the stature of Christ. Just as seeds silently grow in the soil, God gradually and relentlessly changes us from the inside out. We have come to recognize how helpless we are against sin, Satan, and the world. We already know that we are powerless to save ourselves. We have already failed all throughout our former lives by trying to participate in right activities and behaviors. We know we are not able to change from the outside in. Here in the gospel field, we are given a wonderful message of salvation, good news, and great hope. God changes us from the inside out. He has the power to make us into a new generation of people, and He will sustain us to the end if we continue in Him. But we must discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Now the miracle of Mark chapter 6, verse 35 through 44, displays an important recovered principle. Our needs are never greater than God's supply. That's a lesson for people who are growing in the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, who appreciate Jesus' miraculous power and His supply of food for more than 5,000 people. It always amazes me when I go into a supermarket and see all the food that's more than enough for the people in every area of the world that I've been in. It's just an abundance of food that the Lord is providing for the saved and the lost people. The 12 disciples should have learned this earlier on through Jesus' ample provision, but they failed to do so. Mark chapter 6, verse 52. They should have learned that when confronted with impossible situations, that when you're consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus could be trusted to deliver them and to feed them. We also need to remember that there's no obstacle for our spiritual growth too great for God. He is sufficient to meet all of our needs. All we need do is fear Him and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. In Mark chapter 9, verse 2 through 13, Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. In this amazing event, we are given a picture of what we can hope for in our own life. Someday we will be changed. We will be made perfect. There's no imperfection in heaven. You may have been struggling with these different dependencies of yours, and you might have been in despair about your devastated life. But when you have accepted the Lord at that certain time, it caused all these problems to go away.
Right. Another thing, too, is when people are on their deathbed and they know they're going to die, right at the last minute, what people are doing today is they're asking doctors to help kill themselves. Instead of asking the Lord to save their soul and for them to be healed or to take the pain away, which the Lord would do, they're sealing their fate in hell by asking someone to kill them. Euthanasia. So if you only knew. I've seen the kingdom of heaven, and I've seen what I look like in heaven. I've seen what my wife Susie looks like in heaven, and I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ appear right before me. I had a vision. It was a dream vision of Sue and myself in heaven. We were just unbelievable looking people, and I'm just sure the Bible says there's no imperfection there. So if there's you're disfigured or you don't look so good in this world, you'll look so beautiful and so handsome in the kingdom of heaven that there'll be no possible way that you can tell people about that, because you actually have to see it to believe it. But by faith, if you believe what the Bible says, that there, everything is perfect in heaven, and you get translated from this body that's made out of dirt, that's made out of clay or sand, and you're completely spiritual and you're perfect. If you've got a missing limb or a missing eye or you're blind, in heaven you see perfect. You have all your limbs, all your fingers, toes. If you've got six toes on each foot, you'll have only five what you're supposed to. Everything will be perfect. Amen?
Amen.
And you'll look, if you're toothless, I mean, you'll have teeth. Everything will be perfect. And you'll just love the way you look, and you won't be depressed any longer. You know, and when we get old, we might have been beautiful, you know, or handsome when we were young. And when you get old, you see, well, you know, I don't like the way I look now. I just want to die, you know. And then some people say, I want to die and have a beautiful body or a beautiful face or so on. Don't think that way. Think about serving the Lord. Don't think about self anymore, or what you look like or what you don't look like. And pretty soon, if you serve the Lord, you'll be in heaven and you'll have the perfect state of, and you never look so good in your entire life. I mean, everything is perfect in heaven. That includes you when you get there. So don't fail to get there. You say, God really cheated me here. Well, you know, if you don't look as pretty as the different people that you think is pretty, or handsome as the different people you think are handsome, don't worry about it. Because if God would have made you the way that you want to be, then you might have lost your soul. You might have went and started just going with every person that flirted with you, because you might have a very weak spirit, somebody that's easily tempted into promiscuity or something. Or you may have become a motion picture star and had so much money that you became like a megalomaniac, like somebody that just figures out, just do what I please and God's blessed me and all this. So be happy whatever you are, because God made you the way you are in an attempt to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Because He knows the human brain is not that bright, and he does anything in his power. Another thing, too, if there's an accident and you get maimed, like I had a relative in my family, an aunt, that she was a drunkard and she got in a car wreck. She's beautiful. She got in a car wreck and there were big scars all over her face and everything. And she was so depressed at that because she was so beautiful before. But I believe the Lord allowed that to happen to her, because it wouldn't have happened if she wasn't a drunk. And she walked through a window in a bar. You talk about embarrassing. When I was a child, you know, to know that my aunt had done that in Helena, Montana, and because that's not a very big town, and just to think. And then she also appeared at where I was working at the Northern Hotel in Billings, Montana, and was begging for money with my drunken Uncle Carl. And they were just freezing out there, and they had so much liquor in them that they weren't feeling the cold. But thank God that both of them got saved, and especially Carl. I mean, Carl was really a renegade, and he got saved. He was in the woods. He was a lumberjack, and it was cold and wintry, and he saw a place that he might get warm, and he went over to it. The lights were on and everything. It was a church out in the woods. He went in there, and the Lord gave him a vision that you must be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he got saved in there. And he's in heaven now. He just died in the Veterans Hospital not too long ago. He was in World War II. And Mary, the same way. And I thank God my mother got saved, and she's in heaven. They have perfect bodies. Now, my brother was so angry with her that he, because she treated him, he thought, bad, but he was a real pill when he was young, and he was kind of easy to not like. But my mother, in her drunken stupor, treated him real bad, and he just hated her, and so... she appeared to him. The Lord let him see her as she is, and he was looking at her because she was so beautiful. She had long, dark hair. She was gorgeous before she became an alcoholic, but that was many years before that. And she was even asked to be on the cover of different magazines, and she was... but she appeared in front of him with a bouquet of flowers in her hand. And she says, he raised up from sleep, and he says, there was a sheen around her. And he says, who are you? And then he looked closer and closer, and she kept shoving this bouquet of flowers at him. And he looked closer, and he says, Mom! Oh, my God, Mom! And she was pushing those flowers at him. He says, Oh, Mom, I forgive you. I forget, because the Lord sent her there to ask Danny to forgive her for what she had done, because she had repented for that before she died. And my brother has told that in different... He says, states it more clearly than I do, because it happened to him. And many people come down to the altar when he says, gives that testimony, and they get saved. And you cannot, if you hate somebody, if you hate people, if you hate your parents, you're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven, because that hatred is bitterness. And you can't hate people, because these are people that God created, and the Lord tells us to love our enemies and to feed those of our enemies if they hunger, and to give them water or if they have something to drink if they are thirsty, and to clothe them if they're naked. And so I thank God, because Danny used to talk bad about her all the time. But after that happened, he never talked bad about her again. And that took that hatred out of his heart. And so I thank you, Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that. And what a wonderful testimony that was. So he saw that my mother was the most beautiful creature that he'd ever seen in his life. God showed Danny that there's no imperfection in heaven. Long, raven black hair, just shimmering, and gorgeous face and eyes, and the body was just perfect and everything. This is why I'm telling you this, is because if you're upset at the way you feel, or anything that's happened to you, or you lost a leg, or you got wounded in the service, and you're missing limbs or something, don't worry about it. God allowed it to happen so that you could, He wants you to read the Bible so that you can see that there's no imperfection in heaven. And this life is vapory, grassy, shadowy. We're like a shadow, a blade of grass. We're like a vapor that appears for a moment and then it's gone. And it's not going to be long before you're going to be there in heaven if you repent and keep the commandments. Really, I'm telling you the truth. The Bible states that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for you, that all of us that keep His commandments, that love Him and keep His commandments. Amen?
Amen.
So love the Lord, because He's made everything perfect for you if you'll just keep yourself from sin, Satan, and the world until you get there. There's no need to despair. The Lord is going to translate you into a perfect creature if you allow Him to translate you now into a spiritual being. And so, what if you have to suffer? God Himself had to suffer on the, in this world and on the cross, and who are we to complain? Because He suffered for us, we could surely suffer a few years for Him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
You are now more than conquerors in Christ Jesus.
Yes, we've got it made. Amen?
Amen.
If we're in Christ. All right, then what?
And who can be against you if God is with you? All we have to do is just entrust our life to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to begin the process of leading and guiding us toward the kingdom of heaven. He wants to bless us in this world and give us eternal blessings forever in the kingdom of God, and to keep us totally out of hell and the lake of fire. But we must allow Him to live a productive life in us now. When He returns in all of His glory, He will take us up to be with Him forevermore, because we have allowed Him to restore us while we were in this world. His entire creation will not be found perfect, but those of us who have accepted salvation will be. With this hope in mind, with this great faith, let everyone begin realizing that we are slaves of the Lord, that He died and gave His life for us, and that we don't belong to ourselves, and that He can live in us and through us because He paid for us, and He has got the right to do that, and it is our reasonable duty to let Him do that.
When I was mentioning that the devil will move in, as it says in 2 Thessalonians, to people, the Bible says because people do that, because they don't love the truth, they have not the love of the truth in them, he says that he sends strong delusions to people so that they could believe a lie that their souls might be damned. Now, this is why I say, that's why the Bible says that God is a terrorist. And, like, if you just don't believe His word, that's the same thing that Adam and Eve didn't do, and that's why all of us have to die, and we have to go to hell. But the Lord came in and gave us a second chance. He said, if we love His word, because He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and is God, and the Word came to the world as a man. Well, if you love that man, that word, that God, then you believe Him and not what people tell you, but what God says. And if you remain faithful to that word, then you will not receive strong delusions to believe a lie that your soul might be damned. Well, you say, well, why can't we do what we want to and still be blessed? Because God said you can't. That's why. And He's not a Democrat or Republican. He's theocratic. He's a dictator. And He's a good dictator. But if you don't like Him as your dictator, then you've accepted Antichrist as yours. So because of that, He sends you strong delusions to believe a lie. So don't believe a lie. Believe the word. Okay, now go ahead.
Here are some of the Lord's priorities. God gave the Sabbath laws, Exodus chapter 34, verse 21, to protect His people from overwork and keep their lives in proper balance. Like all of God's laws, these laws were intended for the good of his people. When the disciples picked grain at the edge of a farmer's field in Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 28, they were actually following one of the provisions God had prescribed in his law, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 through 10. Yet the Pharisees, with their man-made rules and false assumptions, accused Jesus of breaking the law by working on the Sabbath. Sadly, as they pretended to uphold the law, the Pharisees actually stood in the exact opposite of God's law or his intentions. Today, our preoccupations about disease, sin, Satan, and the world, or God's plan, can cause you to doubt the path of the kingdom of heaven for others and for yourself. You must never set out roadblocks to the healing of the hurting of the people of this world or God's people, especially by using God's word, by twisting it to make it something that it isn't. It is the actual plan of God that people should grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ to support his plan for everyone. When you read in the book of Mark, you find in the 10th chapter of Mark, verses 32 through 45, that immediately after Jesus warned his disciples of his impending suffering and death, James and John requested positions of honor and authority. They were blind to the fact that the call to follow Jesus would involve suffering and persecution. Following Jesus on the road to the fullness of the stature of Christ is sometimes not going to be easy. It demands that we swallow our pride and admit our sins of ignorance and our mistakes.
And the sins that we know of. Okay, then what else?
It calls you and me to give up our dependencies that we have used to try to escape either the burden of or some kind of pain. It means that you have to come out of hiding and show the world how ugly you really are inside.
As ugly as you were, and that you become a new creature in Christ. Then what?
Not so much the world, but to show how you were before you were saved, to give your testimony of how you are now, because now you are a son of God. You're not ugly. You must humble yourself before the living God so that the people you've wronged in the ministry, now we've all wronged people in the world, but there's no way we can go back and patch that up. All we can do is go, take up the cross, and follow the Lord, not go back into the world and start humbling ourselves before the people that you have formerly wronged. Most of the people cannot do that unless the people they've known in the past know them. And that isn't what the Lord has called us to do. He says to go back and preach the gospel.
Why? Because if you've murdered somebody, or if you've had abortions with little children, or if you've robbed people of millions of dollars, or you can't take that back, or if you've caused people to commit adultery and fornication and you really hurt because of it, God washed all those sins away from you, and all you can do is just be a good Christian, and that shall be payment enough to anyone. You owe more to the Lord than you owe anybody. So the Lord says, come and follow me, and so you, there's no reason for you to go back and do something for somebody else, because now the Lord has called you to be a sacrifice, to do what he wants. And you just have to let all that be washed away in the blood of Jesus. And if they ask you why, what kind of a Christian are you because you don't come and earn some money and give it to me because now you don't have any money, but he wants to pull you out of the ministry, or she wants to pull you out of the ministry to go get yourself a job. Well, if you have the money, you can go ahead and pay it. But if you are, it's impossible. How are you going to bring somebody back to life that you murdered or killed, or the little children you've killed? You can't. You just have to receive forgiveness by faith and just take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow the Lord. Okay, then what?
Following Jesus sometimes is not the easiest, but it is definitely the easiest path to get into the kingdom of heaven, and it is the only path that will lead you to the kingdom of God for procuring fulfillment and happiness. Jesus expressed his true feelings in Mark chapter 14, verse 35 through 36, as he begged his Father to remove the cup of suffering before him, but he never rebelled against God's will. He was willing to suffer and die so that all of us can experience forgiveness of our former sins.
And that we can go to heaven, amen.
Amen.
Then what?
And have his life living in us, so that we can grow up to the fullness of the stature of Christ and be free from sin, Satan, and the world.
And go to heaven and stay out of hell. Okay, then what?
As much as we might want to escape certain unpleasant tasks, as we walk the path of eternal life, the straight and narrow path of life. We must submit all self-desires to God's will. We must submit our lives to death on the cross with Christ, and we must be buried with Him in baptism. God may tend to lead us into some tough experiences, but as painful as they may seem to be, He does it for our own good. We need to toughen up. We need to be strong to go through the fire.
Yeah, we're like diamonds in the rough. You know, when you pull a diamond out of the earth, it's got rock all around it and everything. In order to make it beautiful, the rocks have to be chipped off. Then the diamond itself has to be cut. And if we're to become diamonds for the Lord, we have to be cut. We have to go through the fire. And then we have to be polished. All that rock has to come off. And then if we want to be, God wants to make us a diamond-shaped diamond or an oval-shaped diamond or whatever He wants to do with us, we have to let Him cut us. And it hurts when we're like trees also. When we're pruned, I mean, it hurts. A tree, when you snap the branches off, ouch, you know, it hurts. And you just got to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I had that coming. Worse than Listerine. I hate it, but I use it. But we have to get cut. We have to go through fire. So you might as well just plan to go through some fire, you know, and get shapened up. Okay, because we have pastors that are four-star generals that are going to show you the right way. And if you get offended at them, well, you're only hurting your own soul, because if they care about your soul, and really real true four-star general Christians do, they're going to tell you what's wrong with you. And because they see you going off the deep end or getting off the straight and narrow path, and you better listen to them. Okay, then what?
We have to go through the fire, otherwise we're not going to be like pure gold. We can be sure that He has our best interest in mind. We can also be sure that He will stand with us throughout all the things that we're going to go through. Insight concerning obstacles that we go through. Now the silent controversy recorded in Mark chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, reveals two ways of dealing with ungodly anger. Now there's a godly anger and an ungodly anger. Ungodly anger itself is something that carnal humans call normal emotions. It is normally neutral. What we do with our anger is what counts. The Lord says, "Be ye angry, but sin not." Jesus was angry at the Pharisees for making up rules about the Sabbath that stood contrarywise to the laws of God and God's true intentions in the law.
And the Lord was also angry with the money changers and fashioned a whip and beat them out and turn their money tables upside down. That was godly anger. That was righteous indignation. Then what?
Jesus used His anger in a constructive way, not to tear people down, but to heal a man's deformed hand.
And to show people that you don't make the church or the synagogue into a house of merchandise or a place. The house of God is for worshiping the Lord. And I've seen different churches advertise a different bazaars that they're having in the church to raise funds and all that. And I've actually seen them sell pictures, paintings and stuff in the synagogues and the churches. And it's like merchandise. And they have auctions in there and allow all sorts of things to happen. This is extremely offensive to the Lord. And He will punish you one way or the other for sure. And what?
Jesus' enemies in their anger plotted to kill Him. Anger expressed in selfish or harmful ways will always stand in the way of the work of the Lord.
Yeah, you can't be angry with the Lord. And you say, "Lord, I don't want to do this." And some people, I hear them say, "I got so angry at God." Who do you think you are to be angry at your Creator? You've got to really be a crackpot. Okay, what else?
After healing a demon-possessed man, Jesus faced tremendous opposition from the people of the nearby town. In Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, the demons left the man and entered a herd of pigs, causing them to run violently or wildly into the lake and drown. The people of the town did not like losing their source of living and felt threatened when the status quo of their world was disturbed.
Yeah, the Jews were, it was against the law to even have pigs because they're not food, they're scavengers, okay? And the article that I wanted had to do with just that, about the scavengers and different animals that were not... the Bible talks about this sheep that came down three times to Peter that had different animals on it, and it all it was showing Peter was that he now the Gentile nations, each one of those animals were representative of different Gentile nations, and God was showing Peter to go ahead and partake with those people, not to eat those kind of animals or eagles or anything like that, because they're not food, and pigs are not food, or horses. But he was saying that you can now fellowship with these people and win them to the Lord. Okay, and that's the article I was talking about that I want to read. Now, do you know which one it is? Okay. Okay, now go ahead. Thank God that this reminded me of it. Yeah, go ahead.
You may experience similar oppositions to God when God begins to change you, your lifestyle. Friends and family members may feel threatened by the changes and try to stop you because they get jealous of the people that you now listen to rather than them. If you experience opposition from codependents, you should be neither surprised nor discouraged. You should simply continue trusting God to change you so you can help your friends, relatives, and your enemies. In Mark chapter 14, verse 1 through 9, a woman showed devotion to Jesus by anointing him with expensive perfume, equaling value to a year's wages, as if preparing a king for burial. Her devotion was mocked by some of his disciples, but was praised by Jesus as an example for all believers to follow. Our faith in God and commitment to growing to the fullness of the stature of the Lord often receives this type of criticism by others. Sometimes family members have a hard time believing you're sincere. Your friends may even feel threatened by the changes they see in you. You can be sure, however, that no matter what others might be saying about you, Jesus is pleased with the steps you're taking. If you persevere, you will discover that others will someday praise your efforts as well. Insights about the person of Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, Jesus visited his hometown of Nazareth, where he was looked upon as a mere carpenter, a mere man, Mary's boy. The people's unbelief kept Jesus from performing mighty miracles in Nazareth. Unfortunately for the people of Nazareth, being so familiar with Jesus bred contempt. Fortunately for us, Jesus left and went elsewhere to minister to those who would appreciate and believe in his miracles and message. Our world has tried to pass Jesus off as just another man, a mere good teacher or wise prophet. Anyone who focuses on Jesus' humanity to exclusion of his divinity makes a great mistake. If Jesus were not the Son of God, there would be no hope for any going to heaven, for staying out of the pit of hell and the lake of fire. Insights about honesty and denial. Herod Antipas did not like being corrected. So in Mark chapter 6, verse 14 through 29, when John the Baptist confronted him concerning his immoral marriage to his brother's wife, the prophet paid for it with his life. Herod denied his sin and did not like to be reminded of what he had done. But his denial only led to an even greater sin, murder. We're guilty of the same thing when we refuse to listen to warnings about our destructive behavior. We need to learn that our denial will never help things by denying the Lord Jesus Christ. It will only lead to greater damnation, suffering, and disaster, devastation. You must act immediately and heed the warnings you receive from the Word of God. If you don't, you're headed for everlasting destruction in the pit of hell and the lake of fire.
Well, praise the Lord. I see that our time is up. Tomorrow, I'll do what the Lord leads me to do. Until then, keep your eyes on the Lord. Stay consecrated. Keep a vision of heaven, because without the vision of heaven, the people will perish. You've got to believe what God says about heaven. Until tomorrow, may God bless you and praise the Lord.